My name is Brenda, and I was homeless about 10 years ago with my dog. I had a truck for a while I was living in. Along the way, I lived in the downtown east side, and I got a lot of help. And one of the beautiful things about down here is that when you stop using drugs or alcohol, there's opportunities for housing and employment. And I've worked so much in my life. So to be able to work as a peer support worker, is which I do now at this medical clinic, is very healing. It's like recycling addicts. And there's a lot of people down here that have jobs. Spikes on wheels, they go around and pick up all the dirty syringes. There's the foot people that walk around and do the same thing. So it's like we're looking after ourselves in a lot of ways, and it certainly gives a sense of purpose and meaning.
Right. Tell us what actually happens here. What kind of service users you've got or whatever?
A lot that we do here. We've just started implementing what London had years ago. I lived in London in 66, 67, and there was a registration for drug addicts where you picked up your script every week. So they've started to do that here as well. This clinic, they put people on fentanyl patches for pain. There's a lot of cancer, that a lot of men that have been injured working in the logging industry, etc., and a lot of cancer, like I say. So the fentanyl patch really helps. So they come here 3 times a week to get it changed. They also come here for the prescriptions for methadone, methadose, Suboxone, and also for the hydromorphine program as well, so that you're able to go and use 3 times a day as well.
So what about the cycle of homelessness and drugs? What's the connection? And maybe you could start by telling us how you ended up homeless, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Well, I know that I was off drugs for about 20 years, lived on a farm, a whole different world, and I was an alcohol and drug counselor as well. But 10 years ago, I started using Oxycontin for a broken neck, and of course I ended up back down the downtown east side. Lost everything.
So do you think there's quite a lot of people that start off by using these prescribed drugs and then go on to illegal drugs?
Yeah. Although, I mean, when I was in England, the first drug I ever did was heroin when I was 18 in London. So, you know, it set the tone for my life. So it's interesting that I'm here now and seeing the program that London had implemented now being implemented here. There's a strong side of me that disagrees with everything, because in some ways it appears to be so easy. But the thing I noticed even when I was 18 in London is that even when we were homeless and we just hung around the West End in kind of gangs, and we were still killing ourselves, there was still a despair. It's what's happening inside, not necessarily whether you have access to drugs or not, which really, although that certainly helps with crime. It's a despair that I felt, and until I could heal that and learn to live with the things that had happened, it didn't matter about the drugs. It didn't matter whether I had a lot or access to it or money or anything. It just was a soul healing that happens, and it comes and goes. Like people down here, it's harm reduction. So meeting people where they're at and opening up doors and guiding people the possibility of employment, of housing, of all those things that are available, though the housing is a really tight crunch. But there is a way of doing it, and I'm living proof. I lived in hotels down here for 7 years, and now I've got it's called supportive housing. So I have my own suite with my dog. But the third floor is a cafeteria. They make meals there. There's groups, etc. But I have like my own place, and it's beautiful.
So what is it that you think that so many of the people that don't make it from the streets onto one of these programs, and we still see them out there, there's hundreds and hundreds. Do you know how many homeless there are in sleeping on the streets? Because this is street homeless.
Yes.
This isn't people sleeping on other people's sofas.
No, it's not, although that's homelessness as well. But I think there might be 1,500. I know there's that sticks in my mind because they do kind of a census all the time, looking at that and looking at housing. I also know they're building more housing. But you can't build housing fast enough, it seems. And there's a lot of youth that it's so disturbing to see the youth. And I guess I was that young as well one time. But people go down really hard.
Is it simply job prospect? People just don't see a future? I mean, you're talking about the despair of it. Is that simply it?
Yeah, because, you know, I had to rearrange my whole mind about what it was I wanted now, because I was in my 60s when I ended up back down here. So for me to be able to look at what I couldn't do anymore, but what I could do, and that's where the opportunities of working came in down here. That's what the beautiful thing is, that continuum of care, is you don't take the drugs away or alcohol, but what's next? And again, it's about housing and it's about employment. So there's a lot, like I say, a lot of people down here that are my peers that have gotten through that. So we, again, set an example as well. It's not what I'm saying, it's what I'm doing, right? That's always worked with me.
What do you think the solutions are? Is it just throw money at the problem, to more programs, more drug programs?
So, I was thinking when you asked what I thought the solution was, and then I started thinking about a solution for who, because I don't think we're ever going to find a solution that everybody's going to be happy with. So I think because there's human contact down here at the at Insight, where you can shoot up under supervision, there's people there that you can talk to look at the possibility of going upstairs into detox at some point, and even further upstairs into a place to wait for housing. And with the new programs, where safe injection with hydromorphine and Dilaudid and the fentanyl patch, et cetera, I think it's the most humane thing we can do for people that are still down here, that are in a lot of pain. It does cut down on the crime. It does help people that are living with chronic pain. And I think that's the best we can do at the moment. I don't think there is a solution in the broad sense of the world, because not everybody's going to be happy with what we've got.
I mean, could you maybe just get, say, a couple of these drugs and completely get rid of them? Because the police obviously are not doing their job, are they? I mean, the police, surely, you know, if these are criminal drugs, they're not stopping them.
No, and for the most part, because we have these programs now, that's very hard as well. The police don't stop people using on the street. The police will stop people selling on the street, but then there's a certain amount of drugs you can have on you for personal use. So it gets very complicated. The police down here, they sweep every day, twice a day, for all the stuff that people leave on the street. So it has to be mobile. They do the best they can. They are certainly, some of them are very humane as well when they talk to people. So it's
What about that? Someone's making a lot of money selling drugs around here, aren't they?
And I believe that there's something going on about that, but it's just not for the people down here. They aren't the ones that the police are looking for. Having everybody in a location like this, at least the people down here know that they're going to get help, right? But as far as sting operations go and everything else, that's what the police need to be working on, not the people down here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.